Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. I hope this finds you well. My name is Paul Nichols. I am the host of It's Your Money, the financial podcast that was designed and continues to pull back the curtain on the financial services industry and expose the truth about money and investing. You know, when you think about the rules, who makes the rules? More importantly, who teaches the rules? And more importantly, what's the motivation of the rule makers? Well, that's what we try to expose here on It's Your Money. Ladies and gentlemen, I do hope this finds you well. I am recording this as of Wednesday, September 17th. We're going to start right off with a market update as of September 16th, business close 2014. Our intent with doing the market update on a regular basis is to give people, listeners, you, an idea of what the global marketplace is doing. See, from a academic and scientific perspective when investing, we know the rules of investing. They're very clear. They have been empirically proven with science and technology over the last 50 years. And really, when we look at investing as a whole long term, it's a relatively simple process if you can remove yourself from the emotion. Of course, that is very difficult because every magazine you read, everything you listen to, iPad, web, TV, whatever the source of media that you may be getting, is someone spouting some insight that they have discovered that no one else has and that you should obtain from them, and you will, in fact, be a successful investor as a result. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a bunch of pooey. The science is very clear. Stock picking doesn't work. Market timing doesn't work. Track record investing doesn't work. What does work is owning equities, diversifying, rebalancing, and realizing it's a long-term endeavor. And as a result, as Markowitz was coined, the godfather of finance, when he won the Nobel Prize in Economics for modern portfolio theory, he made it very clear that it's all about dissimilar price movement. You want to own umbrellas and suntan lotion. He proved that correlation, or how much things are dissimilar, is the key to investing. You can take two volatile areas of the market, for example, a suntan lotion company and an umbrella manufacturing company, and realize that it doesn't always rain and the sun does not always shine. But because they move in opposite directions, when one or the other event happens, you will reap the fruit of that growth. The concept is taken to a much bigger level when you look at global investing, realizing we want to own small companies, large companies, value companies, growth companies, international, emerging markets, developed market, cash, fixed instrument, T-bills, bonds. We want to own the entire global marketplace because we're all in the same market. We all get the same return in that marketplace from year to year. How much you actually keep in your account depends on the cost that it was required for you to play in that market. Hopefully you're not playing. Hopefully you understand that passive, structured investing is the key to long-term success. And as a result, the market update would be a fruitful, I did say fruitful, nugget of information on a regular basis to give you some insight to how your accounts are doing. You know, it's unfortunate we look at so many statements from different people here at Financial Abundance, a registered investment advisory firm, and what we see rarely is any indication of how the accounts have actually done since inception, what kind of yield they have. Is it before fees? Is it after fees? More importantly, how are these investments doing compared to the current state of the market right now? Not anticipating which area is going to be up or down, but, you know, think about it this way. Let me digress for a moment. I explain it this way to folks that are trying to wrap their head around this and kind of find mental hooks to hang some of this information on. You know, our entire investing mechanism is all about implying that they have some insight that other people don't have. And if they exercise good research and prudent types of data crunching, that they will come up with some insight as to what to buy moving forward. Well, there's no research to prove that. Rather, what we want to do is, as I've mentioned, own the entire marketplace. So when we think about an active managed portfolio, which is the vast majority of what we see, versus more passive which is academically proven, and more people are getting on that bandwagon as more and more investor coaches like us and our firm are out there to educate people as to the realities. But I think of it as a horse race. You know, if you went to a horse race or a dog race, I went to one many years ago when I was a young man. I went to a dog race once. And I know that you're supposed to pick the one that places, wins, or shows, you know, first, second, or third. There's really no money paid out unless you hit first, second, or third. And what I realized was that's a lot like investing. People are chasing the horse or the dog that's hot. You know, they're trying to pick the one that wins, places, or shows. They're trying to pick the best three. They're forgetting about the rest of the dogs in the field of the race. Where, as a contrast, the academics look at it and say, well, listen, if we own all the dogs, we realize we're always going to have the one that wins, places, or shows, which is the global marketplace. As a result, though, we'll occasionally have the horse that should be headed to the glue factory, but the win, place, and show and the other winnings lift up the one that's down. A rising tide raises all ships. And that's why the market as a whole is so important. As I'm going to go through this market update, you'll see most areas are up, but some areas are up more than others. Well, we wouldn't know, hindsight being 2020, until after the fact, which of those are up. We wouldn't have known that ahead of time. This is why the market will never be beat. It never has been beat with all the technology, supercomputers, microtechnology that we have, the human genome being mapped, all the incredible advances that we have, but it's the same old thing in the financial arena. It's very simply because the financial arena is made up of a bunch of emotional and at times irrational people. The science is simple. But applying the science takes a tremendous amount of discipline and intestinal fortitude, guts at times. We don't think it takes a lot because the science is very clear. We think it takes a lot of guts to go out and risk your portfolio by trying to anticipate what's going to happen when. Which brings me up before the market update to the one other point I wanted to make. And that is today. I'm hearing all this news this week about Alibaba, this technology company out of Asia, Chinese, I understand. And it's supposed to be one of the top 6 or 10 largest internet companies by stock market value. And it's an IPO, which is an initial public offering for those that you don't know. And so a lot of people will jump on the bandwagon and say, you know, I want to get an initial, the share price, whatever it is, I want to buy some initial shares, a initial public offering. And the story that goes with it is normally something like, well, you wouldn't have wanted to miss the Microsoft bandwagon or the Apple bandwagon. The idea is that, hey, if we get an IPO, if we get a company that goes public and it does very well, we can make a lot of money. And that's true. Of course, those are rare and far and few between because of the way they're priced to start with and so on. It's only irrational exuberance that would normally drive up the price beyond what the market price or book value would start at. Here's the point of it, though. When you look at it from an academic perspective, we don't pursue any IPOs. There's a filter system that companies have to go through that Nobel Prize laureates and professors from notable academic institutions that have studied finance in this country around the world have determined. And as a result, Facebook, for example, when Facebook came out, we didn't find it to be a prudent move to buy Facebook. Now, as Facebook makes it through the initial public offering stage, has some stability. It goes to that time frame, and we start to see factors that lead it to be a profitable company and make sense, well, then it would automatically be included in the fold. But all this is a lot of hype about IPOs, and this is the kind of stuff that really misleads people, because a guy will say, well, look, Paul, I'm going to put a bunch of money in Alibaba or whatever it is, and it's going to go up, and, you know, 5 or 10 years from now, I'm going to look like a genius. Well, if you'd have put that money across a global portfolio, which would include 14,000, almost 15,000 companies around the world, like Alibaba and other companies that have already made it through an initial public offering, you would have the appreciation of all those companies. So it seems to me that betting on one is gambling. Now, at the same time, if you do like to gamble and you know, you want to get yourself an internet trading account and do a little bit of that, that's fine. But let's not call it prudent investing. It is gambling any way, shape, or form. And there would be no other definition that I could think of to describe going out and buying any IPO, not just Alibaba. It doesn't matter what it could be. I mean, it could be Mickey Mouse, you know, Disney. It doesn't really matter. You know, Ben and Jerry's. It could be, you know, Starbucks. It makes no difference. That is not prudent investing. So we're not going to go out and try to pick the one that's going to win place or show. We're going to understand that we want to own the entire marketplace. Wow, that was a lot of wind, wasn't it? Well, let's tie it off with the market update as of September 16th, the close of business on that day. Let's start with the Russell 2500 index. We look at that index because it measures small to mid-sized U.S. growth companies. And year to date, it's up 4.25%. That's 4.24%. So it's up. Yay, team. It's been rocky now. Last month when I did the same update, it was right around there. When we move on to the Russell 2000, which measures small to micro-sized companies, that's the only laggard in the group today, ladies and gentlemen. It's a 0.21 in the red. So it's about a quarter of a point down compared to about three quarters of a point up about a month ago. The Russell 1000 value is a large cap value companies, not growth, but value companies. And year to date, it's up 10.25%. This is an area that's the winner, winner, chicken dinner, ladies and gentlemen. That is the hot asset class right now as of 9/16. As a result, a lot of 401ks should be looking good out there because that's predominantly what we see in them is large and only large companies. We don't see a lot of diversification in most portfolios. We see a lot of the same stuff, the same types of companies. In fact, same companies many times redundantly over and over. Let's go into the Russell 2000 value. That's just barely above. It's barely in the black. It was about 1.25% last month. It's about a quarter, almost a quarter of a point up. So we have small, which is really taken a little bit of a hit so far this year. We go into the S&P 500, which measures large growth, well-established companies as a general rule. And it's 8.15 year to date. So what we have is large growth and large value companies are doing very well. Small, we're seeing a little bit of a lag on the small, other than the small to mid-size U.S. growth. So in the U.S., we're still up definitely overall. Let's move on to the international arena. That we would use the Morgan Stanley Capital International index to measure those. We're going to talk about the Morgan Stanley Capital International World Index. This is a weighted index that is designed to measure the equity performance of developed markets. These would be countries like your Australia, Belgium, Canada, Denmark, Greece, Netherlands, Portugal, United Kingdom, etc. Developed countries. Year-to-date, 4.30, ladies and gentlemen. So we're up. Yay, team, we're up in the developed marketplace. How about in the emerging markets? This is measured by the Morgan Stanley Capital International Emerging Markets Index, which is a weighted index to measure what we would call emerging markets. Not developed, but emerging. These would be countries like China, Czech Republic, Egypt, Indonesia, Israel, Korea, Morocco, Peru, Russia, South Africa, to name a few. Year-to-date, 5.12. So that one's up as well, 5.12. The only one that's down internationally would be the EFA, or what we would call the Morgan Stanley Capital International Europe, Australia, and Far East. And this is designed to measure the equity performance of developed markets, excluding North America, U.S. and Canada. And it's about -1%. For the year. So it would be the laggard internationally, actually the worst of all the asset classes as of 9/16. So we have a little bit of rumbling in the small and in the what we would call the developed markets, excluding U.S. and Canada. But overall, still up, ladies and gentlemen, because we never know which area is going to be up. We just want to own all of them, rebalance, and this is where rebalancing comes in, especially religious, cultish, if I could reach so far, cultish-type rebalancing that is hardwired, and we are very serious and committed to doing it and the discipline required. It's the worst of times and the best of times, so to speak. With that being said, my name is Paul Nichols. I am the president of Financial Abundance, a registered investment advisory firm that's headquartered in State College, Pennsylvania. That's right in the center of the state, Happy Valley, the same area that Penn State University resides. If you'd like to learn more about our firm, you can go to FAICoach.com, FAICoach.com. And there's videos and a plethora of information you can review. You can request some material. If you have any questions, you can request a question to be answered. We'll be happy to respond to you. If you don't have email and you're getting this through some other source and want to call, you're welcome to do that. 877-866-867-5745. 866-867-5745. Paul Nichols, the Investor Coach. Hoping this finds you well. Have a wonderful day, and we'll talk to you soon.